everyone, and welcome to Rewatchable number 254. Today we're going to be talking about Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Season 7, Episode 19, Empty Places, and Angel, Season 4, Episode 21, Peace Out. My name is Karen. I'm the only super fan here today, but I am joined by two lovely newbies, Ariana and Mitch. Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Hi.
As usual, if you'd like to get into contact with us, you can email us at rewatchable.podcast@gmail.com. Hit us up on Twitter at re_watchable. Find us on this post on hypeable.com or visit rewatchablepodcast.tumblr.com. And we are going to kick off with some fun facts. Mitch, do you have a fun fact for us this week?
You know, if I just say I had a fun fact, it is I have recently started playing an MMO, massively multiplayer online game. It is so addictive, and I'm trying very hard to not get so crazy addicted into it, but I'm not doing a very good job at it. It's a Final Fantasy one. Mm. I'm playing it with, like, real-life friends, so I'm kind of hoping that that makes it less addictive, because maybe I won't be so, like, oh, I can only see them online, because that's why I've never played them before. But now that I'm playing with people that I'm only... that I'm also going to see in real life, I think I can be like, oh, okay, we'll just hang out in real life as opposed to just online. I mean, it kind of feels like podcasting in a way, honestly.
That's fair. That's cool. I guess I honestly didn't have a fun fact coming into this, but I've been playing a lot of Fortnite lately, which is, for anybody who's not familiar, like a super popular game right now. And it's kind of addictive because there's so much to do in that game. And sometimes I find myself just waking up and wanting to play and going, nope, gotta get all your stuff done first. So that's not fun. Video games are addictive, but they're also great stress relievers.
Yeah, they can be. And it's nice to have a nice escape from the world sometimes, especially when you live in our world. I don't know what other world you'd be in right now listening to this podcast, but do tell if you are.
Although the irony, because Fortnite involves zombies and is basically the zombie apocalypse. So if that's your escape, then, you know, something's wrong. What about you, Ariana?
My fun fact is that I've never played a video game.
Ever?
Ever in my whole life.
Like Tetris, Mario, Bubble Shooter.
Does Tetris count? I played Tetris on a Game Boy.
Yeah, Tetris definitely counts. That was like my start to all gaming.
Aw. Mine was watching my cousin play video games. It's when I fell in love with Tomb Raider.
And probably Mortal Kombat.
Yeah. Probably. All right, shall we jump into this Buffy episode? We're going to be discussing episode 719, Empty Places. And in this episode, Buffy is voted out of the Scoobies. Also, Faith and the Potentials let their hair down, and Spike discovers that Buffy needs to do battle on her own. So, Ariana, we were talking before the show. You haven't been on a Buffy episode in quite a long time.
I think since 2017.
That, I mean, we're in March now, March 2018, for anyone who's listening to this maybe later. So that is quite a long time. I think Brittany has also similar timeline there. What are you thinking, especially as we're coming near the end of the Buffy series?
I mean, this season has been very, like, it's definitely higher quality than Angel. Like, it's fair, it's like opposites for me right now, because I feel like the storyline in this is really interesting, but like, I don't care about some of the things I know I'm supposed to care about. And versus like when I watch Angel, I'm just like, all of this is awful and I hate everything. And, but like, I'm angry because I care.
That's completely understandable.
I do think some things. I like Faith.
She's the best right now, which is really
she's
weird.
She's so great. And I mean, I don't want to like start off this discussion because she probably comes up later at some point. But I just like in the last episode too, I just feel like she's so wasted on this show, and it just makes me so angry. Like last week when she came back and Buffy's just like treating her so badly again, which was like, I just feel like Buffy has such jealousy for Faith, and like that's what started off the whole thing in season 3, and like that's what ended up with Faith like almost destroying the world, and just because she's jealous of this girl who can do the same thing she can do. And she's like, I have to be the only one. I have to be the special one.
Yeah, that definitely comes up at the end of the episode. So we'll tackle that. But I'm glad that you like some parts of this, because I know about half of the newbies have been over Buffy for quite a while. But I don't know, maybe in comparison to how awful Angel is right now, you guys are like, you know what? Not so bad.
I'm actually loving what's going on in Buffy, except for the Caleb stuff. I'm like very eager to watch every week, and I've been that way, I think, maybe ever since Route Amy came back.
She's reinvigorated like, you.
You never know. You turn a corner and she just shows up like, surprise, bitch.
Yeah. That's funny. I'm really loving season 7. I mean, there are some issues, obviously, but I think just the anticipation of finishing the series, not in a like, oh, it's finally over kind of thing, but in that this has been such a journey for us. And I'm excited to see what you guys think about the finale and then kind of looking back at the series as a whole. But we are still a couple of months away from True Reflection, I'm sorry to say. So let's jump into the specifics of this episode now. First, shout out to Clem right at the beginning. His scene with Buffy was really cute and adorable. he's so leaving great. Town. Yeah, he's leaving and town, though. He's the smart one.
I especially have a fondness for him because we recently found out that Skip is horrible and apparently was evil this whole time.
Wasn't that just a stab to the heart?
I don't know why they felt the need to, like, retcon everything precious.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it had me a little worried when I saw Clem. I was like, oh no, are we going to lose him too? Hopefully we're towards enough the end now that he'll be okay.
Yeah.
I think that was the last we were going to see of him. I was surprised we even saw him here because I thought the show forgot about him.
The show rarely forgets about anything. You should know that by now.
That is very true.
So Clem's leaving town, as are a lot of people. This apocalypse seems to be on a greater scale than any of the ones we've seen before. And considering it's the end of the series, you guys worried?
Not really, because Angel still goes on, so the world must still go on, right?
Who knows? No comment.
I think it would have to be that Angel is still in the same world universe as Buffy's. So it's probably fine. Everything's probably going to be okay here.
Unless Lila's there to transport them to an alternate dimension. She's like, hey,
yeah.
I know that the world is ending again. Also, why would Jasmine want to take over a world that was going to end? That doesn't make any sense either. So she must feel like Buffy's got a good handle on it.
That's a good point. So the team is kind of divvying up, and we see Willow and Giles talking to the cops, who are kind of, the Hellmouth is really affecting them and the apocalypse and everything. They're ready to deliver some justice, which probably is not the right kind of justice, but we see Willow doing some Jedi mind tricks, which I thought was pretty cool, and seeing a different kind of side of her powers, something that doesn't last forever, but is enough for them to get some more information on Caleb. And honestly, I just thought it was kind of cool to see her and Giles teaming up.
These are not the droids you're looking for.
And Giles' turtleneck. We have to talk about that as well.
Oh my god, how cute. I'm glad you appreciated it too.
It makes him look quite distinguished.
Yeah, there's something about a British man in a turtleneck that really makes me all woozy.
But after they get the information they need, and they meet Buffy at the hospital, where Xander is still alive, but he does only have one eye. And Xander's a little subdued here, which honestly, well, given the circumstances, probably a good thing. He shouldn't be cracking jokes quite as well as he usually does. But do you guys feel for Xander in this, or do you kind of not care?
No, I don't care. Yeah. I really stopped caring about him so long ago.
Ariana, same?
Yeah, I mean, I know. I can't even like look at his face when he comes on screen anymore. Not because I want to clarify, not because he has one eye, because he bothers me.
That's
as a human.
Did you two feel extremely bad for Sarah Michelle Gellar with like her no voice and her having to act and do her job and get thrown around? That must have been miserable for these scenes.
Well, she is working like terrible hours all year round. So she probably is sick all the time.
Yeah, probably, because I'm assuming you're saying that she has to work at night all the time for all these graveyard scenes and whatnot.
Mm-hmm. Probably, yeah.
Yeah, I felt, because like it kind of reminded me of like when I'd go on stage and I'd be forced to work through like a voice like that. And it brings forth like a struggle, not just for Buffy, but for Sarah Michelle Gellar. And you're like, she just wants to be done with the show. You can feel it in her bones at this point.
Speaking of Buffy, though, she kind of has this lack of emotional response to what happened with Xander. Do you think that's her compartmentalizing? And, well, I think it is. I think it is her compartmentalizing. But do you think that's smart as the tactical leader of this group? Or do you think that it's disheartening and that it shows a lack of empathy more than anything else?
I mean, for most of this episode, I really was on Buffy's side. I felt really bad for her that she was taking this so seriously, you know, the apocalypse, and that everyone else was just kind of like, well, another apocalypse, whatever, and not having to worry about it. And I feel like the reason they don't have to worry about it is because they know that at the end of the day, Buffy will just like stake them or whatever. Like, she'll figure it out.
Yeah.
Which is probably true, but it's only because she cares like she does.
And like when Willow's like, well, aren't we going to play cards? I was like, no, girl, we're not going to play cards right now. Right?
I was like, this is just like a pod Willow. Like, she can't be this dumb.
No, I mean, I think she's being kind because Xander is in the hospital and it sucks being in the hospital. But also, like, there's this man running around trying to kill you, so, no.
Perspective. Yeah. But, okay, so you guys didn't really care about Xander, and I know we've been all over the board with Willow as well, but what about their touching moment where, you know, she was going to cry because she very well could have lost her best friend, and luckily didn't, and they kind of share this moment together, and Xander's just like, Willow, don't cry, because if you cry, it's going to make everything worse. Did that, guys, touch you at all?
A little bit, yeah, because Allison Hannigan, I think, is a pretty good actress. I think she's very effective at bringing forth emotion when you're watching her.
When Willow cries, Kristen and I cry every time.
Oh, no. Yeah, like when the terror stuff was all going down, that was pretty brutal. But still, I think like not that I need to compare amounts of crying, but I cried more for the body with Sarah Michelle Gellar's acting.
Oh yeah,
because she has like a certain like brutal level that is like I find it amazing. But yeah, they both do really good jobs at making you cry.
What about you, Ariana? I know Willow's not your favorite person either.
Honestly, when she started crying here, I got angry again because I was like, what's she doing crying? Like, that's so rude. Xander feels bad enough already.
Am I the only one who thought about his eye when she was crying? Like, will that hurt him? Because, like, are the tear ducts?
No, I was thinking the same thing. I thought
that's what he was saying. Like, don't do it because I can't cry right now because I'll hurt my injury.
I don't think that's what he was saying, but I was wondering. Like, yeah.
I'm glad I'm not the only person that thought of that.
We're both terrible. But hey, just a random fun fact. Xander makes a wisecrack about not being able to see Jaws 3D. And it turns out that the cinematographer for Jaws 3D was actually the director of this episode, which is why that line was in there.
That's cute.
I thought that was kind of funny.
Have you seen Jaws 3D, Karen?
I have not.
Add it to your list because it sounds like a horrible movie you would love.
Okay, I'll do that. So Buffy, you know, she picks up the information about Caleb that Willow got, and she kind of busts out of there, and she's like, hey, you'll be coming home soon. Awesome. I gotta go. And she goes back to, well, she goes home and has a little bit of, not a tiff necessarily, but this beginning of her kind of laying down the law and not everybody being completely on board, but also not really wanting to speak up to her. Dawn was a big part of this, and we'll come back to her closer to the end of the episode. But she ends up kind of hightailing it out of there and going back to the school to pick up everything from her desk. And Caleb shows up and attacks her and sends her another message. And basically laying another trap for her, which feeds into Buffy wanting to go back to the vineyard at the end of the episode. So I know we were kind of talking about this before, but again, like, are you guys afraid of Caleb? Do you think that he's a good villain? Ariana, you haven't been on a Buffy episode in a while, so what do you think of Caleb right now? I know Mitch doesn't really like him.
Something that I think was really cool about these last two, about like Caleb and Jasmine both, besides the fact that they're both on Firefly, which is weird, but is that they, I don't think either one of them was like famous before they did this, right? So I don't know if I'm like putting on my, like, knowing who they are onto them already, but I find it, I think it's really cool that like there's only a couple of episodes left in both series and they have so much presence to them as actors that they're able to be both really scary and also like charming at the same time.
Yeah.
Which I think like adds to their scariness.
Yeah, they're both very sexy. I get that. It's not that I don't find Nathan Fillion or Gina Torres very sexy. It's the fact that, especially with him, yeah, as you're saying, Karen, I don't care for him because he came in too late. I don't like when shows do this. I've seen this a couple other times. I can't quote an example, but it felt similar to bringing in a character close to the end of a season or a series to make it like a big bad when you've had the whole season to build up to that. He comes in and he's just supposed to be the biggest, scariest thing. I've already had that like five times here, like with the Uber vamp and then the Uber vamps and then the first, but he's kind of the first, but he's not. And I don't know. And I really don't care because I'd rather just concentrate on what we've been building up here on these Uber vamps coming out of the portal. But I guess that's the idea. We're switching gears here, right?
No, I think that he's so much like, I was praising them for being able, I think a lot of it has to do with like Nathan Fillion's presence, but like being able to make him so scary in such a short amount of time. I think he's much scarier than the Uber vamps. They have no personality.
Yeah.
They don't even talk. But something about him is so creepy. I also think it's weird that they both of these villains, like clearly Joss Whedon is not a fan of religion. He's like a very outspoken atheist. But like, I think it's weird that they have a lot of similarities, these two, and that they're both very like, are supposed to stand in for like religion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Him more overtly than, no, I guess they're both pretty overt. The last episode has like them in a church scene, putting Cordelia in a church scene.
Oh my God. Yes.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. I think they've done a wonderful job too with Caleb. My only regret is that there wasn't really more of him, because really the first is supposed to be the scariest thing out there. And in a way, objectively, it is. But right now, we haven't seen a whole lot of the first doing what it does best. So Caleb is kind of the face of the big bad right now. And the fact that he only just came in, I don't know. Like, yes, they've done a really good job with what they've given him so far, and he's done a really good job with it. But if they, imagine if they had spread that out through half a season, yeah. I think, you know, that would have been even more powerful. But given how this has had to play out up to this point, I don't know that they really could have fit that in there.
Why doesn't Buffy just, like, shoot him? I know she doesn't like guns.
Yeah.
But then she wouldn't have to get near enough to him for him to, like, kill everyone.
I mean, she says they don't work, but she used, like, a torpedo at one point. And sure, it's not a gun, but it definitely worked to blow up that demon guy. So why not just go get back into that mode and just blow him to the brains?
He seems like he's perfectly human, except that he's strong, like her.
And is it even going to be explained why he's so strong? Is it going to be like he's the male Slayer line? I don't know. It feels like they're making comparisons to him being a Slayer at times.
Well, didn't he, like, steal the Slayer thing or whatever? He was angry because he went, like, when Spike went there, they had that, I'm, like, totally jumping, I'm sorry, but they went to go to that cave thing in the, with the monk, and then that thing was, like, it's not for you, it's for her. I'm guessing that that was, like, a Slayer magic poison bottle or magic, like, bottle that he drank or something, and now he has Slayer powers.
That's a good theory. I can see that. I didn't know what it meant at all. I thought it was something about, like I wrote, that she has to do this battle alone, and that's why then she's voted out of the Scoobies, but I can see what you're saying as well.
Well, remember that he went there and he read that, and it said, it is not for thee, it is for her alone to yield.
I thought that was, like, more towards Spike, like, saying you can't help her in this battle. Although I know this is, like, Caleb's Slayer of some sort.
No, I think it was for everyone who's not the Slayer.
Yeah.
It was like, you can't have this thing.
Mm-hmm.
These thing special, like, powers are hers. Yeah,
her powers. So maybe this will corrupt him and kill him. Like, he can only maintain it for so long, but he won't survive because he's not built of Slayer protege.
Yeah, well, we'll just have to wait and see. Luckily, we don't have too many more episodes to go for that.
My one question was, though, why he didn't just kill her at the school? It was so confusing.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that this season has to go on, but I'm assuming they wouldn't do that unless there was a good reason, because it was just so random that he would be there to be like, ha ha ha, and leave.
He's definitely, from the conversation that he had with the first, he's definitely laying some sort of trap for her, or he's definitely planting something in her mind, not like magically, but like, you know, a thought, a seed, and that's gonna get her where she needs to go for them, because clearly the first is kind of planning this whole thing out, and it's got an idea of what it needs to happen, and all the players in the game have to be in a certain place. So this is that way, I guess, its way of setting up the board in its favor. But it is kind of frustrating watching shows and movies like this where the bad guy is like, I'm not going to kill you yet, because I'm going to wait until you watch everyone you love die. And then, like, the bad guy ends up dying. And it's just like, if you killed him to begin with, you wouldn't be in this situation.
Always feel like you could be a better bad guy than every bad guy?
Sometimes. I mean, no, never. That thought has never crossed my mind.
But maybe we need to, so that's the thing. I think we need to maintain that critical eye when we're watching shows, that if we feel like we could be better, and if we feel like the only excuse we have is the season needs to go on, then I think they need to write it in a different way, or they need to not write in the scene. Like, they need to write it so that Buffy escaped as opposed to being knocked out, I think. Legitimately, so that then she has a fighting chance against him. I know that makes his threat less, but I don't know how to write in a one-on-one interaction with them. Apparently, you just let her knock out and survive. I don't know.
I think her running away from him, like they did in the vineyard, was actually made him scarier, because if Buffy is saying retreat, you know, then you kind of have to take it seriously.
So you're saying then she should have, and that would have made it better for factor and for, like, story factor.
Yeah, I think you're right. If she had escaped rather than just being knocked out, it would have been a little more realistic to me. But speaking of, you know, preparing for what's to come, back at home base, Anya's teaching all the potentials how to kill the Uber vamps and everything. And she talks about Xander too, of course. Which actually, let's go to that first. Xander and Anya's relationship obviously been very weird lately, but she clearly cares a lot about him. Do you think that his close call is going to change anything between them? Do you want it to? Do you care?
No, I don't care. I don't want Xander near Anya. Anya is my perfect cupcake, and I need her to stay away from him and him away from her. They had the cot sex. They had the, like, that was like their closing of the chapter. I really believed. And then she brought it up again, and I was like, no, girl, you just moved on.
I was really rooting for them because I find Xander to be so much more tolerable when he's with her. Mm-hmm. But you're right. He doesn't need to be tolerable anymore because the season's ending. So Anya deserves better. She mm-hmm. can move on.
She probably deserves Spike, I think, more so than Buffy does. I think that they get along a little bit better.
I really like them as friends, and I wish that they had explored that more as, like, former yeah. evil demons who are now just trying to make it mm-hmm. pass as humans. I think that would have been a really cute, like...
I'd watch that show.
Buddy and cop, I'm sure it's like, in...
I'm sure it's in the comics, Adiana.
But while she's talking about her sex life, of course, she's also explaining to the potentials how to kill the Uber vamps and everything. And of course, we learn/relearn that the potentials don't have super strength, that they're really just girls who are training until they're called and have the actual Slayer powers. And the idea that all of these girls would be going up against an Uber vamp, who can be staked, by the way, but it's like driving a stake through steel, is kind of terrifying. I mean, these girls have been terrified for a long time, but I think this is really putting in perspective what they're going up against. I think this scene feeds into the confrontation at the end of the episode where Buffy just wants to go in guns blazing, stakes blazing? Yeah, and the girls are like, hang on a second, we're not built like you, and I think one of my favorite things has been the fact that the potentials are all being quite realistic, except for maybe Kennedy sometimes, who is a little gung-ho, but being quite realistic about what they can and can't do and how terrified they are. And I think that's just, that would be true to life.
Yeah, for sure.
And this is also where Giles sends Spike and Andrew, of all people, on an adventure to figure out, you know, what's going on with Caleb. And that's where they find the little monk in the seal thing. What did you guys think of Andrew and Spike going on an adventure together?
It was kind of cute. I really liked the motorcycle bit. But I didn't really care. As I wrote, I don't understand why they needed to do this. Maybe just to give Andrew something to do. Because Spike really could have done this on his own. I don't know. We didn't get too much out of this mm-hmm. other than the motorcycle bit. That was pretty cute.
Andrew still, like, disgusts me. So, I don't know. Like, I know he's funny, but he's... I don't think he can ever be as funny as they want him to be to me because he's such a terrible person.
You don't think that him sticking around for as long as he has and I think genuinely wanting to be in the middle of this, even if he is kind of useless, starts to make up for everything he's done?
No, because I don't think that he doesn't have the level of remorse or self-awareness needed for that to happen. Like the way that Spike and Angel feel bad about what they've done is so different. He just kind of, I feel like he's sticking around more for like his own personal feeling of feeling important than rather being remorseful. Like his dumb thing where he about the was it the Hot Pockets or whatever? When Faith ate his Hot Pocket?
Yeah.
And he made like such a big deal about that. And like, I get it because I hate it when people eat my food. But like, in the middle of Giles and Dawn trying to have this important conversation, mm-hmm. he just like, I just feel like he has no self-awareness.
I think that's really important what you said about him sticking around more so he feels important than really genuinely wanting to be there. I think he does genuinely want to be there because we saw Storyteller, we saw that he does have some remorse. However, after Storyteller was over, I think that remorse is still there, but it's been pushed deeper down and he's gone back to the person that he was, not the person he was before, but being the comic relief without a whole lot of substance, which can be funny on the surface, but also very frustrating if you're looking for more character arc and growth there. But yeah, I completely agree that he really wants to be part of a team again, and he really wants to feel like he's part of something bigger, and that is a major reason why he's sticking around, which is maybe not the best reason either.
He's just such a sheep. He's like a follower, and I feel like he follows whoever's the most like commanding person in the room. And so I don't know. He needed like a new person to follow.
Mm-hmm. I will give him credit for pushing back against the first, especially when it was wearing Warren's face, because that's obviously a huge weakness for him. But I definitely don't disagree that he is quite the sheep.
Yeah. That was really nice, but it was also like the bare minimum a person can do. You know what I mean? Like,
that's probably
congrats
fair.
On not killing someone. I mean, I not kill someone every single day of my life. Should I get an award?
That's completely fair.
Honestly, yes, Adiana, you should. In the way that our world runs, I congratulate you and all of us.
While Spike and Andrew are on their adventure, Faith brings the potentials to the Bronze, where she's eventually attacked. Do you think that this was a dumb idea on Faith's part, or do you really think that the potentials needed this outlet?
I thought it was a dumb idea.
No, yeah.
What'd you say, Mitch? Also... You thought it was good?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, why didn't you like it, Adiana? I'm curious.
Well, probably because I'm like too like strung up, but like in this kind of situation, I would be so angry if someone took a break to go clubbing while the apocalypse is coming, or like anything. I was like, this is not ideal. And also because like we have that guy who's trying to kill everyone running around.
Yeah.
And all these terrible things. And I mean, if they really want to unwind, like go play a game of like Scrabble or something.
That's what I was going to say. I honestly fall a little bit in the middle because I don't think that she should have taken them out clubbing. Not a great idea, especially because some of them are still underage. But aside from that, like, Buffy has been so hard on them and their morale is so low at this point and they're so terrified all the time that they need something to kind of get their minds off of the problem, because if their morale is that low, like they're going to be kind of useless anyway. They can fight, but they already feel like they're fighting a losing battle. So like remind them what it's like to live life and be normal for 2 seconds. Remind them what they're fighting for. So I think Faith's heart was definitely in the right place, but maybe choose a better venue next time, especially because, Caleb's out there.
I remember watching it and thinking, you should have just had, like, a party at your house.
Like, yeah.
Recreate the club scene.
Well, didn't even Xander say, like, every time there's a party going on at the Summer's house, he ends up, like, having to repair half of it.
Yeah.
He probably was like, no, everyone out. I just lost an eye.
And just another couple fun facts. The band who was playing at the Bronze was Nerve Herder, who made the theme song for Buffy. So that's kind of a fun nod. And one of the cops that attacked Faith and everybody else was actually the same guy who played Billy on Angel.
What?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Billy can stay away.
Why did they do that?
I don't know. Sometimes they just do. It's happened before. And I think even, I'm trying to, I can't think of any specific character, but even on Charmed, I think they've had like the same person play different characters in that universe. And it just, you know, you kind of just let it go after a while. They need the extras, somebody they can trust, I guess.
Sometimes the shows kind of shove it in your face. Like Gilmore Girls does it pretty frequently, and they just put people in like wigs and like old age makeup for different characters. It's kind of fun.
I really liked this scene with the cops, though. I mean, not watching Faith getting beat up or anything, but the girl standing up to the cop, and especially Dawn, which I have some big feelings on Dawn actually after this episode. But it was nice just seeing the girls kind of sticking up for Faith and sticking together and taking on the cop and Dawn launching herself onto his back to take him down. Pretty funny. But, you know, Buffy shows up and ruins all their fun, although maybe a good idea considering Faith was getting the crap beat out of her. And she sends everybody home. Faith is mad and out on the back porch smoking a cigarette, and I think she doesn't like being reprimanded by Buffy especially, and maybe she thinks she did something wrong, but at the same time Faith is obviously a very confident person and she tends to stand by her choices as reckless as they are. But she was a little subdued after this, and then Wood comes up and tries to read her, and she reminds him that she's capable of reading people too. And there's this kind of, I don't know, sexual chemistry / tension between them by the end of the scene. Mitch, I feel like you might have some thoughts on this.
Yes, the sexual tension was real here. It really was. And I do think go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say, I was really into it.
Right?
Yeah.
I feel like they had way more chemistry than Buffy and Wood ever did.
Yeah.
In one scene.
Do you think it's weird that he's like trying to find the love of his mother through these teenagers?
They're not teenagers anymore.
Are they past 20?
Yeah.
The potentials, do you mean?
No, Buffy and Faith.
Oh,
yeah. I think they're 21.
Oh, are they? So they can finally legally drink, huh? It feels like they're still so much younger. When everyone tries to refer to them as being an adult, or even when like I see like a principal hitting on them, I'm like, oh, this feels gross. But it's kind of hot.
I don't feel that way. I also feel like Faith just feels so much older and more mature than like everybody else. Even though she is kind of a free spirit and crazy sometimes, like she just feels like she's been through so much, which is funny considering everything Buffy's been through.
Well, she looks so much more mature than when we last saw her on Buffy. So I think that makes a big difference too.
And she smokes cigarettes. So like, of course she's.
Her voice is kind of raspier and sexier than usual too. She's smoking a lot.
So this kind of brings us around to the final scene of the episode, which is Buffy comes in and says, all right, guys, my grand plan is, we're going back. We're going back to the vineyard. I know there's something else there. It only makes sense. You know, they'd only be protecting whatever is powerful. And I think the powerful thing is there. We don't have to worry about the seal anymore. We don't have to worry about the Hellmouth. We're going back to the vineyard and we're doing this again. And everyone's like, are you kidding me? Like, do you remember what happened last time? People died and we barely survived this thing. And Buffy's just like, I wish this could be a democracy, but it's not. And it turns out that they're like, well, then we vote for a different leader. So first question is, do you think Faith would be a good leader?
Of course.
Yeah.
When I saw her. Well, okay. We just spent, this is why I get so frustrated, is because Buffy is so patronizing towards Faith, and she has been since the beginning, and she kind of was with like Kendra too. I feel like she just feels very threatened by anyone who can be as special as she is. Mm-hmm. But aside from that, we just saw Faith literally save Angel's soul. Like, we saw her lead the pancakes and do a great job because the pancakes trusted her and, you know, were team players. And I don't feel like she walked all over them, except for Connor. But I feel like she was like an equal partner with like Wesley and Fred and Gunn. And I think she did a good job. And I would definitely trust her with these kids' lives. Do I like the way that this was handled with Buffy? Definitely not. I mean, I'm angry at the way that Buffy treats Faith, but I also understand like how much pressure Buffy's on under and how she has to bear the weight of everything and nobody else is really helping her. Mm-hmm. And I think that it was to her detriment that she decided to unveil this plan in front of everyone. That was really dumb. I think that she should have gathered her mini troops, like, you know,
council. Yes.
And kind of talked this out more, because I actually don't think that this is a terrible plan. I think she's probably right. I also don't think that they should be sending in, you know, 20 regular girls in there to do this. I think that maybe they should scope it out a little bit, see it, try and figure out what it is.
Bring some guns.
No, but I mean like more, I think if she had done it more like, hey, I'm going to go in there, or Faith and I are going to go in there, or Spike and I are going to go in there to kind of scope it out first, I think that would have gone a lot better. And this went so terribly, and I was both angry at her and felt really bad for her at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What did you guys think of Dawn being the one to kick her out?
I know you like her right now, Karen. I was so angry. I was so mad because this girl, this is her big sister who was taking care of her through everything. And I just feel like there was such a better way to handle this, Dawn, than kicking her out of the house. That's okay, Dawn, whatever. It's your house too. It's her house. She should have really just been like, you know what? Things are getting really heated. Buffy, let's go into the kitchen. Let's go into the kitchen right now, Buffy. And like somebody, I'm really kind of angry at all of them. Like Willow should have. I know Giles, like they all are having issues with her right now, but really someone who loves her should have been like, let's go into the kitchen right now. Or like, let's go to your room and cool down. Not been like, you need to leave my house right now.
Do you think Buffy would have listened, though? Do you think she would have been like, all right, let's go cool down? Because I kind of feel like she would have pushed back against that.
She didn't push back very much when they kicked her out of the house.
And honestly, it's very rude for people like Willow and everyone here to kick her out of the house, essentially, because they're just freeloading off of her. Willow has been doing nothing for the longest time, not participating in the household at all. And she's just like, I'm with everyone else. Like, you need to go. Like, it's not even your house.
I think that's very fair, what you guys are saying about Buffy. I don't know. For some reason, I get very frustrated with Buffy at this point, because while I do trust her, and there's a long list of evidence for why we should trust her instincts, 7 seasons of it, in fact, but I feel like she has distanced herself so much from everybody else, and she's so unwilling to listen to criticism or other people's suggestions. She's always been headstrong, but in this case, they're dealing with basically the apocalypse of apocalypses. I feel like she does need to gather her counsel and be like, all right, look, I feel very strongly about this, but also, what do you guys think? How can we maybe do this even better? And I don't know, maybe it's just a sign of the times that the pressure's building and she feels like they need to act more than think at this moment, but I don't love that Dawn kicked Buffy out, because I agree.
No.
That, you know, especially in front of everybody, like that was pretty hard to watch. But I also, like, Dawn definitely didn't want to do that, you know, especially the way that she turns around and snaps at the one girl for saying, like, good riddance. You know, she didn't want to have to do that, but everybody was telling Buffy that her idea just was too crazy. And I think the only person Buffy really would have listened to was Dawn. And maybe Dawn felt like this is what she had to do. Not that it was
Dawn
right.
Dawn is a freaking idiot then. I can't believe she did that to her own sister. I cannot. After everything this girl has done for her, she literally died for you. And you're going to embarrass her like that in front of everyone. She should have just stood up and been like, you know what, guys? Buffy has done a lot for us. She just is like, we need to give her some time to cool down because this is a terrible idea. Buffy, let's go somewhere else. Buffy could tell that everything was going terrible around her. I really just think Dawn should have pulled her aside.
Yeah, I lost a lot of sympathy for Dawn as soon as she did this. It didn't matter to me that she stood up for her when Rhonda was like, ding dong, the witch is dead, because you're the one that kicked her out, Dawn. You don't really have a right to stick up for anyone here. You caused you caused the issue in a way, but you're the one that did the final blow.
I guess that's a good segue into favorite scenes, because like I said before, I really enjoyed Dawn throughout this episode. I feel like she's in a way being the most level-headed person, because even though Buffy kind of snaps at her and doesn't, their relationship has clearly changed, and Buffy has been kind of cordoning herself off from a lot of people, including her own sister. Dawn's handling of that, where, you know, a season ago she could have been very bratty and childlike, she doesn't enjoy being treated the way she's being treated, but I think she takes it a lot better than she would have in the past. And I don't know, maybe this is just my own reading of the situation, and maybe I'm completely alone in this, but I think the fact that Dawn didn't want to kick her own sister out kind of means that, you know, this was a hard decision for her. It was a decision she didn't want to make, but it was a decision she clearly thought was best for the entire group. Because if Buffy had continued to be in charge, then maybe everyone would have died. And that's the sign of a leader, you know, is somebody who has to make those tough calls. And maybe it was the wrong call, but I feel like Dawn was very mature in making that call. But maybe I'm the only one who thinks that.
Are they better off without Buffy now? No, I feel like they're so much worse off without Buffy. And now what are they going to do? Like, I cannot believe that Dawn took the side of all of these strangers over her own sister. It infuriates me.
And sort of Faith, too, in a way, by saying, like, now that Buffy's not here, Faith will have to fill in just because.
Okay, Faith, I feel like, was being the only rational person in this entire scene. Because Faith was saying, this is a bad idea. Can we talk this out? And then they're like, why can't Faith be the leader? And she's like, hold on, that's not what I want. Buffy is a good leader. I just want to talk this out. And then everyone else is being chaos. Like,
yeah, it was definitely a frustrating scene. And
I don't even like Buffy, and this scene infuriates me.
And I do like Buffy, and it infuriates me.
It's all these ungrateful people who've just been taking and taking for 7 seasons, and like who just get to sit around and play cards in hospital beds when Buffy has to, this poor girl has died twice.
I think, you know, clearly Buffy has taken the brunt of every apocalypse that has come their way, but I also don't think that the others, especially Willow, have done nothing. You know, they've each...
Yeah, she tried to destroy the world.
She did, obviously, but like she's participated in her own way, and Buffy has said time and time again that the reason why she's so strong is because she has this support system of her friends who kind of keep her in line. And I think that Buffy is no longer listening to her counsel is as problematic as the fact that these people are not trusting her after everything she's been through and everything she's done.
I'm not saying they have to trust her.
I think there's fault on both sides.
I'm not saying they have to trust her. I think it was really dumb to take these girls anywhere. I don't think they're ready. I don't think that they're capable of handling anything that she's made them do. They've been what? Like taking taekwondo for 2 weeks and she wants to throw them at demons? No, but I feel like after everything she's given them, for them to just be like, no, we don't like your idea, we're kicking you out, is very, it's rude. Yeah. To put it lightly.
Do you think this will be a wake-up call for Buffy?
I'm not sure. At this point, I'm just so mad. I don't feel like she needs a wake-up call. I mean, I guess she needs to learn to listen to other people. Mm-hmm. And I mean, honestly, what I think she most needs to learn is to stop being so patronizing to anyone who threatens her authority.
That's fair.
But I don't know. She's doing her best and trying. She's really honestly doing her best and trying to help everyone. I don't really know what she needs to learn. I just feel like she needed to cool down. That's all I think she needed was to cool down and come back later with a new plan.
It's not like it's going to matter in the finale episodes, because it's going to just be like they're all going to forget it, that they've kicked her out. She'll save the day and then she'll move on because she's the bigger person here.
Yeah, we'll just have to wait and see if next week, if a cool down helps or what's going on. But let's go to Ariana. What's your favorite scene for this week?
No, I'm so angry.
Sorry.
Well, really, my favorite scene is Mitch's scene. So I'll just let Mitch go.
Okay. Yeah. Go ahead, Mitch.
Mine and Ariana's favorite scene is the Clem and Jer scene. He's precious.
Yeah. I love Clem. Clem would have never done this to Buffy.
Yeah.
I mean, Clem doubted Buffy. Clem doubted Buffy.
I told you that it's not that it was a good idea. That's fine. I'm just so mad at Dawn for kicking out her own sister in front of everyone. She didn't even have the decency to take her into like the hallway and be like, I really think you need to leave.
Doesn't she need to grab anything?
No.
Seems very unrealistic.
Her jacket? Didn't she
also,
take her jacket?
Buffy was so cool about it. I would have probably thrown a tantrum and slapped my sister across the face.
I think that might kill her, so maybe she should not slap anyone.
Yeah, I guess it's not a fair fight.
Yeah.
Okay, then I would have, like, I don't know, gone into her bedroom and, like, ripped all the clothes off the closets and made a mess.
Favorite lines. My favorite line was clearly the best line and actually the best scene of the entire episode, which is Spike and Andrew on the motorcycle talking about how to make onion rings bloomin' onion, and Spike knowing exactly how to make the best kind of bloomin' onion. And he just says to Andrew, after this like great long pause, tell anyone we had this conversation, I'll bite you. little bit of levity in the middle of this very dramatic episode, so I appreciated it.
Were they really riding on a motorcycle? Because I couldn't tell. And that's a good thing. It's a compliment to the show. I don't know.
I'm not sure.
I'm sure they weren't, but it looked really realistic to me.
Ariana, what was your favorite line?
Okay, so I forgot that there was one other person in that scene that I did like besides Faith, and that was Anya, who, again, speaking of people that Buffy feels threatened by and therefore needs to be patronizing and terrible to, and that was Anya's whole speech when she was talking about, like, you know, you were born with certain advantages, but that doesn't make you better than us. That makes you luckier than us.
Yeah, I thought that was really good and honest. I mean, that's kind of Anya's thing, is like she is brutally honest, but she's got a really big point there.
It was so profound too. I was like, oh, I feel like this can just be applied to any kind of privilege in life.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, whenever there's like, instead of getting into Twitter fights of any sort with people we don't like, we can just show them this little clip, like, you were born with privileges that make you better than us, makes you luckier. I think that might affect a couple of people.
I would hope so. What was your favorite line, Mitch?
Mine is Clem saying, you can't swing a cat without hitting some kind of demonic activity. Not that I swing cats or eat. Nope. Cutting way back. Cholesterol, morals. I mean morals. Like that he's so concerned about the fact that he's still eating kittens amongst the apocalypse, that is his main concern when he's talking to Buffy.
He doesn't want Buffy to come after him for eating kittens.
Yeah. He's like, this is like the only character I think I'll ever give a pass for killing a cat in any show. Because it's fine. Like he presents it as like a sustenance thing, you know? Whatever.
He doesn't want to. He has to.
Yeah, it's part of his nature. That's fine.
Mm-hmm. That reasoning could lead to very terrible things. let's jump into Angel. 721, peace out. In this episode, Jasmine, a.k.a. Parcel Tongue Hissing, pieces out when Connor oogie boogies her face. Also Lila. And there's this from Scream Queens.
It's an American Horror Story coven.
Oh, is it?
Oh. Yes. Right before Scream Queens.
Surprise, bitch. I bet you thought you'd seen the last of me. that is perfect. Okay, so yeah, we jump into where we left off in the previous episode, and Angel, he is in this other world, and he needs to get Jasmine's true name. And I think we're all in agreement that the CGI is pretty terrible. Although, to be honest, like, I kind of expect the CGI to be terrible, so it doesn't bother me the way it would in, like, we always mention Once Upon a Time in Wonderland. Like, I wanted that show to be awesome, and the CGI was so not good that it bothered me. But here, like, because of the time period, I guess I just expect it to be terrible. So I'm just like, whatever. It's bad CGI. It's part of its charm. But maybe that's just me.
Oh, I don't really care. I was just like, why are we even showing this right now? Mm-hmm. I care about so little at this point of the season.
Well, do you care that Gunn, Fred, and Lorne got locked up? And that Connor was keeping an eye over them, being terrible as always?
The only thing I care about is that Gunn was the only one trying to be productive about their escape, and that everyone else was just making fun of him for it. So,
and Jealous couldn't even break out of that. That's pretty amazing.
I really liked, though, that... Mitch, did you write this week?
Yes, I did.
I love this line. It goes, Wes, Gunn, Fred, and Lauren are locked up until Gunn opens the pickle jar that Angelus likely loosened up. That's great. That made me laugh.
All props to God, the Gunn, really. He doesn't have supernatural strength.
Yeah.
You know, that is kind of a big
advantage. No, he's just scrappy.
Here. He is scrappy.
And determined.
Would no one let them out, like, ever? I mean, I'm sure Angel would come back eventually, because they don't really do anything in this episode, so it's not really important that they get out.
Well, they discover Lila.
that is true.
That's important. Okay, so yeah, this really did kind of feel like another end of the world scenario, with them being locked up and everything happening upstairs and them being powerless to do anything about it. But they do get inside Connor's head, and they kind of are like, look, where's Cordelia? Are you sure that Jasmine didn't eat her? Like, what's going on? And he's still sort of under Jasmine's thrall, but he's determined enough to find Cordelia that he's willing to go against her wishes, which I think is pretty big. And honestly, when he's like pretending to be under her thrall still, like, that's the most personality I think we've ever seen out of Connor.
So yeah, he was broken from the enchantment when they cut open his chest and put in Cordelia's blood, but he was just like, in that moment, like, maggot face. No, I still like it.
No, that's the thing. He's always seen her true face.
That's my secret. I'm always seeing great faces.
But yeah, he's always seen the Maggot face. He's always, I don't think he's been under the same kind of spell as everybody else. Because remember, he got sad in a way that, I don't know, he was able to still push back against. His relationship with Jasmine has always felt more grounded to me and more of an actual two-way street than an enchantment.
Yeah, well, I've always theorized, too, that perhaps he's never been enchanted because Cordelia's blood can stop it all. I'm assuming his can, too, because there's two parts to what makes the potion there.
That is true. And Cordelia is asleep, so we don't really know how, you know, she feels about that.
So they go into this whole thing about like how Cordelia needs to be brought away so that she's not a threat to Jasmine because of the blood, I guess. It's just weird that we don't really get a full picture of this because they're like theorizing like Wes is coming to that conclusion, but I'm not sure what conclusion he's coming to because he already understands, as do all of the angel investigators, that Cordelia's blood heals everyone. They made it I was getting the implication that having Cordelia around will disenchant people. I don't know. Because like what's another conclusion they can come to? And the fact that they're saying like, oh, she needs to be away because she somehow weakens her. And I'm like, somehow, you guys already know. Like I don't know. Do you know Karen or Adiana?
Well, her just being around doesn't do anything because those people were basically not necessarily praying to her, but they were watching over her and they were visiting, you know, Jasmine's mother as part of this like pilgrimage thing. And they were clearly still under the enchantment. So her just physically being around doesn't matter. Her blood obviously does cure most people. And I think Jasmine just didn't want that to continue happening. So she had to hide Cordelia away so that they couldn't continue to use her blood.
I think the writing on this season has been very, very messy, and that's why I'm feeling confused.
Adiana, I know you have a lot of feelings about Cordelia. Are you tired of being angry about it? Do you want to talk about it still?
I mean, I feel like I can't really talk about it until this season is over. Then I have a lot to say. But yeah, I mean, I'm angry. I'm angry that this had to happen. It didn't have to happen.
Nope. Yeah, I agree.
I don't like the presentation of her underneath the veil in the church as well. It felt not good. Something about it really just irked me even more than everything else has. It just keeps getting worse for me. The fact that he doesn't even take her, he's like, lets her be. He's like, Jasmine needs me, bye. Like, wasn't the whole point to get her and just save her? And she's still sitting there right now, sleeping, and no one's taking care of her. Fred's right. Medically, I guess I am still angry about this. Medically, she does need some attention here. Like, I'm assuming her wrist somehow isn't still bleeding. Did anyone check in on that? I don't know. Felt like that was a bad place to go for, Angel.
I think her wrist is fine. But I think that, you know, yeah, that's a good point about her needing medical attention and all of that. Yeah, it's unfortunate. We will discuss more of the Cordelia situation come the end of the season. And
like, it's not just like these shows present it, Buffy and Angel. You just sit in a coma and you're all pretty. Like, you need to have, like, a lot of things going on to keep your body functions going. Like, an IV, for instance, to feed you. No one's concerned about that? Come on, Connor. Ugh, this character really just, he has been the worst since day one, since he came in. Not as a baby, but like as a teenager androgynous boy. It's just all been bad.
Yeah, definitely. Before we talk more about Connor and Cordelia, because I have a couple of things there, I want to just backtrack a little bit and just say, you know, Jasmine basically eats a whole bunch of people before she does her worldwide press junket so that she can bamboozle the rest of the world. And everyone is so happy about all of it until Angel arrives on the scene. He's got the head of the thing he killed in the other world, and he cuts his mouth open and it releases the word, the true name of the devourer of Jasmine. And it allows everybody to see her true face. And with what remaining power she has left, she kind of goes middle ground. So she doesn't have any maggots, but she's got these like pus things all over her face and is clearly, I mean, I still think she's gorgeous to be honest, but not quite as gorgeous as she was before. And now she is really pissed and the world kind of falls into chaos and Angel's just following Jasmine around. What did you guys think of Jasmine's reaction to being outed like this? Because I found it kind of human, to be honest. Like, she was sad as much as she was mad about it.
That's when I was like, dang, Gina Torres is such a good actress. Mm-hmm. They really like lucked out with this.
Yeah.
No, I felt so much for her. Like, it was weird because I like felt bad.
Yeah.
Even though she's so evil.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's very compelling.
Mm-hmm. And I guess there's the question, and obviously I don't necessarily agree with this, but for the point of discussion, is she really that evil? Because what she was offering was world peace. And Angel goes, yeah, but we didn't choose that. Like, we have the right to choose, even though our world is pretty shitty, like, without you. And I don't know. Like, I see her point. And maybe that's how compelling Gina Torres is that you kind of can be like, all right, yeah, she ate a ton of people, but also she kind of made the world a better place, too.
I think it is the Gina Torres effect here.
It is, yeah.
Because she's definitely a dictator, and not giving them a choice is a big deal, mm-hmm. because that's what forms the worst kind of utopia. 1984 should be your first example there,
mm-hmm.
Karen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, you know, again, like, I do think Angel has a point. Like, we have free will for a reason, and we should be allowed to choose what we want. And the world peace was
also
great.
She was eating people.
Yeah, the world peace was great, but it was also a lie. Like, it really was. So I'm assuming then my question here was, would you guys choose this utopia, or would you want the real world?
I couldn't, because I'm too stubborn, and if someone's going to take away my choices, I'd rather die.
Well, are you even alive at that point if you don't have a choice in your own?
Mm-hmm.
You're just in the ant farm at that point.
The way you think.
Yeah, that's completely fair. I get Matrix vibes from this.
Yeah.
Like, it's all a lie.
Take the blue pill.
Okay, so circling back around to Connor, after he sees Cordelia, he's always seen Jasmine's true face. He's always kind of known what she is, but it's only after seeing Cordelia that he decides to do something about it. And I thought that was really interesting, and I wanted to know if you guys had any insight in what exactly made him switch. And to be honest, still hate Connor, not saying I don't, but his speech, while, I mean, it could have been better, but like, again, one of the first times where I felt like he had a personality, that he had an agenda, an arc, a something that wasn't just completely annoying. Like, he actually looked into himself and hated what he was seeing and was frustrated and angry. And I mean, he's been angry a lot, but it just felt like there was more to it, more substance to it than just a bratty teenager. Somebody who had been lied to his entire life is still living a lie and being frustrated by that.
And tortured. We have to give him the tortured.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly couldn't have been fun with Holtz in there. Yeah, if you're looking to Mama Maggot face and you're seeing love and affection, you're probably pretty twisted and you need some therapy.
What do you think, Adriana? Did you like his speech, or do you just really not care? No.
No, I don't care. I mean, I do understand in that, like, I think Natalie made a point at some point that this is, I guess, the most realistic version of what a kid who grew up being gaslighted in a demon dimension would behave like. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean I want to watch it, the TV show. I want him to not be so annoying every minute of every moment he's on screen. So, yeah. No, I don't care. I'm excited for him to die next episode.
Well, before we get to what potentially could happen to Connor, he does punch a hole through Jasmine's head, yes. Which was gross, but also kind of satisfying.
Wasn't
Mitch,
it?
I feel like you're okay. I feel like you would be with me on this.
I was really happy. I was like, yeah. Yes. Like, it came out of nowhere, and I was just like, I needed that.
But also, I was a little sad because Gina Torres.
Yeah, like, she didn't even get, like, that one last, like, you know how, like, when Darla was first dying in, like, season one?
Yeah.
She was like, angel. Like, Jasmine didn't get that angel. She just got punched through the face.
Through the back of the head, too. God.
Yeah, that was brutal.
It was.
But it still made me very happy.
Yeah. What about you, Ariana? Are you going to miss her?
Gina Torres, no, because at the end of the day, she was, you know, a Cordelia bot who ruined this entire season, so.
Nope. That is true. Never forget.
Yeah.
But Connor runs off after killing Jasmine, and he kind of looks like he has nothing left in this world. And Angel's obviously concerned, and the whole thing was, like, you're going to lose your son. So, Ariana, you think he's going to die next episode?
If we're lucky.
I second that sentiment.
Yeah.
Yes. If we're lucky he dies, we're probably not. This is not going to happen. But if it was to happen, Angel would brood for a little bit, but then he would learn everything he loves goes away. So I'd rather have Angel suffer. I'd rather witness him suffering more so that we don't have to suffer anymore.
I think that's actually totally fair.
The trade-off is worth it.
I'll
take more brooding, please.
Yeah. We're used to Angel brooding, so it's no skin off our back.
Like, I didn't even care, and he was calling after him. He just seemed like he didn't even care. He was like, Connor, come back. Oh, no.
By the way, I hate how Connor runs, like, so much.
I didn't even notice.
So much. It's so awkward.
Oh, is it like with his arms out, kind of? He's like flailing?
No, he has like stiff arms. And like, I don't think he's an actual runner. But it reminded me of how everybody picks on Tom Cruise's running.
Oh, do they? Is that a thing, too?
Oh, yes. That is definitely a thing.
I need to watch another Mission Impossible now.
Oh, God. But anyway, everything changed when Lila came back. Were you guys expecting that?
I was so happy. Oh my God, she's the evil bitch that gets resurrected that I want to be.
Ariana, did that surprise you?
Sadly, I was spoiled on this a couple of weeks ago.
No.
It's really hard riding the docks. You get spoiled on fun things.
You do.
Yeah. I'm sorry about that. But it had to have been pretty satisfying nonetheless. Like,
yeah, it was. It was exciting.
It's pretty cool.
I really love her. A lot. Like, I don't even have any qualms about loving her. Like, oh, she's evil. Because for me, I'm just like,
she's great now.
Yeah. Because she's like, she kind of came over to the good guys, and like, Pod Cordelia killed her, and that was it. That was sad. Because like, she had a good arc going. Like, she still loved Wesley, you know?
But is it Lila?
I hope so. I'll be
or
really
upset. Or is it the first?
Oh, it could. Oh, yeah.
I guess. And if it is really Lila, what is she doing back? You guys have any theories?
Being gray. And hopefully kind of evil more than gray, because I like her better when she's evil.
No, I want her to be nice.
I like Survivor Lila.
Yeah,
that's a good one. She has a lot of different like classes, positions.
Yeah.
Like Survivor Lila, evil Lila.
Corporate Lila.
Yeah, I like
cowering
it. I like
Lila.
That's where I'm so like proud of her, because she is the only one to survive that massacre, because she's that much more resourceful than everyone else. That's why it pissed me off that much more that Pod Cordelia killed her, because she had no way of seeing that coming, and she sees everything coming.
Yeah.
And she chops off people's heads that piss her off. That's pretty great.
Yeah, that's wonderful. I mean, that's probably somebody I'd want on my side in an apocalypse, right? To be honest. But we do only have one more episode of Angel. This is not 7/21, it's 4/21. We only have one more episode of Angel for this season. What do you guys think? Are you ready for this season to be over? I feel like the answer is an obvious yes.
Let's end the dumpster fire, please.
It'll be bittersweet.
Yeah.
I'm going to be happy to see Cordelia wake up. I shouldn't have to say that once again. She should just already be on the show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I hope you guys like the finale, and we've only got one more season left of Angel as well. So that'll be interesting. And to be perfectly honest, some of my, maybe not favorite moments, but the moments that stick out to me the most when I think about Angel have yet to happen. So I will just let that simmer in the back of your mind. But let's jump into favorite scenes and favorite lines now. We're going to kick off with favorite scenes. And honestly, mine is kind of when Connor admits that he's seen Jasmine's true face all along. I don't know why, but I think there's something poetic in that. I think that it's interesting. I don't know that it's necessarily good, but his perception of beauty is so different from our own because of where he grew up. And I think that, I don't know, it's kind of nice if the person he was looking at wasn't like super evil.
Yeah. She literally is Oogie Boogie from The Nightmare Before Christmas. Yeah, she kind of you unzip is. Her and a bunch I of honestly, little maggots fall out.
I can't even look at her face. Like when they show it, it's so creepy.
It's so bad too though. Like really? Because it's so, it just looks like this like
I love it.
Half melted like puppet thing. And it just... Yeah.
I think it looks great. Because oh, it's a practical effect. It's not CGI.
Yes.
Nowadays, they would do CGI for that. They would not. It's like the Star Wars effects. Like, some things just look better, practical effects. Even if they look a little bit cheesier because you're not like, oh my God, that's CGI. Like, you can tell it's like something tangible. And it makes a difference to me.
Tremors. Why do you think I love Tremors so much? That's all puppeteering and stuff.
You got me there.
Fight me on this.
Yeah, it's like the meme, like, Tremors uses puppet animateers, so it's an amazing movie. Change my mind.
Yeah. I'll write that article. No, I won't. Okay, Ariana, what's your favorite scene?
My favorite scene is how Gunn is trying to break down the door, and everyone's making fun of him, because everyone, for some reason, still thinks that Gunn is stupid, even though he, you know, was killing vampires and leading a group of kids around and saving Los Angeles since he was like 13. And, you know, he ran his own crew or whatever, and now everyone treats him like he's dumb. But it turns out he was right again because he got them out. And then nobody even said thank you until he had to remind them.
Mm-hmm. Just want my props.
Yep.
I like Gunn the most, I think, out of everyone on the show. Angel and Gunn, they're tied.
Lila, I just get so angry that all of these stuck-up people, and by stuck-up people, I mean Fred and Wes, treat Gunn like he's dumb, when he's definitely not dumb. He's just, I mean, he's not, like, as intellectual as them. But neither is Angel or Cordelia or Lorne, and they don't treat them like he's dumb, like they're dumb.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why he even hangs out with them anymore. I would be done with AI. I'd be like, okay, obviously no one is appreciating what I can do here. I got to go back to my crew.
No, because he's in the sunken place, Mitch. He can't leave.
That makes me so sad because I do love Fred. I think she's made some bad choices, but she does seem to be coming around, at least recently, and being a little bit more of the Fred that we saw earlier. They talked about that a bit on last week's episode. So we'll have to just see how that ends up progressing. But yeah, I get really sad about Gunn too, because he's super resourceful, strong, smart. Like, he's a really great character, and I feel like he doesn't get the spotlight that he really deserves. We'll have to see if that changes though.
And he's also beautiful.
Oh God, he's so attractive.
God, I agree with Caitlin. She was like drooling over him in the tux and being like a superhero and like fixing his tie after. Oh God, that was great. I yeah. love it. He like chews up the scenery in an amazing way every time.
What was your favorite scene, Mitch?
Mine is when Connor punches Jasmine through the head because, yes, while it was aesthetically pleasing, it also was nice to know that we're done with everything Jasmine. I couldn't anymore. It's funny that the character I hate the most is the one that solves everything. And why couldn't an Angel have just done that? Like, if she's that mushy and maggoty.
I don't know. Maybe this is his redemption arc.
Connor has, like, super maggot-punching fists. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
I figured.
That's what he was born for.
I'm here maggots. To punch all people. Yeah, punching maggots. That's my thing.
Jumping into favorite lines now, I just really liked Gunn's never give up, never surrender, basically for the same reason you were talking about, Ariana, the whole door thing in the cage. Like, that is his personality in a nutshell. Like, he really doesn't know when to give up. And he can be very headstrong sometimes to the point where he maybe goes over that line a little bit, but like his heart's always in the right place. And I really appreciate his determination, especially surrounded by people who, I mean, again, also totally agree that Gunn is smart, but he's street smart in a way that the others are very book smart, or, you know, Angel has superpowers, Connor does, Cordelia even did, and Gunn's been kind of the everyman, but in the best possible way. And I really appreciate that.
You bring up a good point. Does Cordelia still have superpowers when she wakes up? I assume she wakes up.
I guess we'll just have to wait and see. Do you think she'll still have them?
Because you know when she cast, like, Holy against all of those lobsters that were attacking them?
I was like, lobsters? It took me a second.
They're like water lobsters.
Yeah.
They're
made out of water, and they were like getting everywhere. What is that? Like, I pictured literal lobsters, and I was like, I don't remember this scene much.
And didn't she, like, take all... Oh, ooh, okay. She took all of Connor's pain at one point, and Jasmine did the same exact thing. Like, calm down, my son. And then they're like... Well, Jasmine kind of, like, sunk her claws into him in a way, which really confused me. I don't know what was going on there. It's all just weird.
No comment. We'll have to wait and see.
Yeah.
All right, Ariana, your favorite line.
My favorite line was when Gunn says, I just want my props, Saul.
Yeah. And Mitch.
Mine is the very polite officers while they're threatening Connor. Okay, friend, we're not communicating. You can't, so turn around and leave now, or my partner and I are gonna have to get rough. And the other one just goes, please.
Yeah. I did think that was cute. They were all smiling and they're like, you really can't be back here, but like, hey, it's so nice to see you. Like, that was great.
Yeah. It was
sweet. All right. That wraps up our discussion for these two episodes. Again, if you would like to get into contact with us, please email us at rewatchable.podcast@gmail.com. Hit us up on Twitter at re_watchable. Find us on this post on hypebubble.com or visit us at rewatchablepodcast.tumblr.com. And again, we love iTunes reviews, especially 5 stars. And remember, we're doing 5-star Fridays now, which Brittany has been putting together gloriously. I love reading everybody's 5-star reviews. And if you rate us 5 stars, then I will play cards with you and watch the world burn because I let your feelings take priority over the fate of the world being in my hands. Yes. You are that important to me.
Aww.
Mm-hmm. But only for 5 stars. I can be bought. All right. Listener feedback. We've got a couple of tweets here. Mitch, do you want to take this first one?
Sure. So this tweet comes from Castiel Mertulu at Surgeon of Mean, wrote, listening to some of my favorite podcasts for the rest of this long work day. Thank you for all of you making my work days much more bearable. Tagged a couple other places, including some place called Slayer Fest X98. I'm curious. And us. So I am very happy that we can get you through the long work days. I think we all can relate. I know, Adiana, when I first started talking to you, you were like, yeah, I used to listen to like Not About the Weather, or no, Not About the Weather, Not Another Teen Wolf podcast, even though you didn't watch the show, I think, just because it was like a nice background conversation to have.
So yeah,
that's true.
I appreciate you greatly.
Yeah. That means that you loved Karen and Natalie before you knew them, because you know how pure and innocent and sweet they all were. Except for Karen might be a little bit evil, tense. But
me, I might
listen.
Be.
Okay, we both admitted to loving maggot faces today.
Yeah, and
being punched.
God, that's true. Ugh. Anyway,
can't bounce back from that.
No, you can't. You really can't. Adiana, you want to take this tweet from Laura?
Just when I think Angel can't capture my attention with any storyline, they do this. I am intrigued. I want Fred to kick butt and take names. Only time will tell. Smiley face to the side.
I think it was for like the week where Fred was getting bit by that man in his little cave and she mm-hmm. was fighting the good fight. But yes, yeah. I was proud of Fred for there that time.
Yeah, me too. I thought she did very well. And our last piece of feedback is an email from Jeremy, who says, during this season of Angel, there was a vampire soap opera airing, Port Charles. For most of its last 2 years on the air, Port Charles focused on vampires. Of course, Dark Shadows in the late 1960s focused on vampires. I'm not sure what this was in response to.
We're always talking about, I think it was last week, we were like, this is a vampire soap opera.
Oh, right. That's true. Yeah. Dark Shadows. Unfortunately, the only thing I know about Dark Shadows is that it got remade into a movie. Yeah. But I know, I think it was my mom who used to watch the original Dark Shadows.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Suki and Lorelai watch it in Gilmore Girls together.
Aw.
It's cute.
All right, man. I'm getting little butterflies of like anticipation. We're coming up on the end here of Buffy and of the season of Angel. I feel like everything's wrapping up. We only have a couple more months to go. I'm sure you guys are so excited. I'm a little bit anticipatory, but we've got Mitch's musings, Adiana's answers, Buffy 720 touched, and Angel 422 home.
You just passed on the butterflies. I got a little bit excited when you were talking about this. I'm excited to be able to next episode officially give our final Buffy series predictions. That's going to be pretty awesome.
Yes.
Yeah. But as for what touched means, honestly, the first thing that came to my mind was how they never followed through with the whole Jasmine touches your face, you turn into mush thing. But that's not relevant here. Maybe the first can touch people now, right? It's corporeal. What do you think, Adiana?
That is a really good theory, because I feel like that would be the only way. It could be dangerous, or it could be killed. How are you going to kill this thing?
Yeah, maybe it's I need to. It's a bit too much of a power play there. It's like, I'm so powerful, I will make myself corporeal, and then Buffy's like, lol, punches through the back of the head and retrieves maggots. and Angel 422 home. Lila and Cordy are home, and they make up, and while Lila's a bit scared of Cordy at first, she assures her that she's no longer a pod person, and everyone is happy and they celebrate because there are no more pod people.
Yeah, maybe we find out that this was all a dream. Everything that happened, like Angel fell asleep with the baby on the bed and Cordy.
Oh.
And then we find out that everything since then has been a dream.
That just punched me in the gut.
But I don't trust the show to do good wigs, because like the Anya flashback wig for Once More With Feeling was just like a spirit Halloween wig. So I'm afraid that everyone's going to get really bad wigs if they do that for a very long time.
I love that forward. You're worried about the wigs.
I'm always worried about the wigs.
That's funny.
Maybe they just click their heels and they go home. You're right. They just go back to, like, Cordelia's like, oh, I'm so sick of this. She does it, and then she's just back in bed with Angel and not evil baby Connor.
If you guys don't know by now that this series, both of these series, are full of pain and heartbreak, then I have nothing for you. So Have fun with that one.
You're done protecting us from the harsh world out there.
I am. But I'm just excited because we have these two episodes next week, and then the week after that we have the finale. I'm thinking maybe the finale of Buffy. I'm thinking maybe we're gonna do something kind of special with that, but I haven't decided what yet. I'll post it in the group and we'll figure it out all together. But yeah, that's going to be interesting to say the least. And I'm sure lots of people will have lots of thoughts on the matter. Probably not all good, but I still have hope. Okay, so until next time, I'm Karen.
I'm Mariana.
And I'm Mitch.
Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Bye.